Welcome back to Corner. Today, I have Jill Pedersen on with me. She is a member of our 2024 Broker Council. So excited to have you, Jill.
Thanks for having me.
So we just wrapped up our annual conference, Weekdays with Bernie. Yep. What did you think of it?
Fantastic.
What was your favorite part?
Interacting with other brokers and employers who are so passionate about technology and helping employers get this out is great. I mean, couldn't ask for a better time.
Yeah, and I thought the speakers were great too.
Oh, by far.
Who is your favorite speaker that we had this year?
Well, the first one, and I'm not even gonna say his name right. So do you remember who he was?
Aaron.
Yes.
Aaron Ain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was great.
Yeah.
His subject matter was great.
Yeah. So we talked a lot about future of the workplace.
Yep. Company culture.
Yeah. And it was great. That was actually the first conference I've ever been to. So it was cool that I got that experience.
I'm very passionate about female leadership. And
yes,
that was the very first thing you talked about. And I was just cheering about everything he was saying about trying to get his female employees flexibility and empowering them as mothers to be home with their children. And not now, but decades ago.
Yeah. One of his first sentences was one of the hardest jobs you can have is to be a mother that works.
Yeah. Because you have two full-time jobs.
Yeah. That's awesome. So I'm so excited to have you on. Just wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, some maybe advice we can give brokers from a technology standpoint and just, you know, kind of from your perspective. And I also wanted to touch on, you live in Oregon.
I do.
And I think a lot of, from, you know, a benefits standpoint, different states have different policies.
For sure.
And, it can get confusing, especially like, you know, we're running Bernie Portal out of Nashville. So it's really nice to have broker partners all over the country to kind of give us that, you know, input and feedback. Just starting off on like the technology standpoint, what impact do you feel technology has on the benefit space?
Very little and everything. And that sounds crazy.
Okay.
Right?
Interesting answer.
So it has very little impact in the sense that everything is just going so slow with technology, in the sense that we have very high expectations with technology, right? Until the pandemic happened, and then all of a sudden, instantly, the carriers, and I guess I'm speaking in that standpoint, all of a sudden were very adaptable instantly because they had to be.
Yeah.
And specifically, I will talk about like enrollment forms. We couldn't really submit enrollment forms and do a lot of things that way with technology until all of a sudden we had a pandemic and it was magic.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, thank you for moving that along so quickly. And for decades, we've been doing things without the proper protections for people, submitting things in just a non-secure way. And even though we were supposed to be doing things that way, the technology wasn't there, it wasn't utilized, it was old school and just super, super slow. And technology and advancements go so fast. I mean, I'm a huge Apple advocate. That's what we use in our office. It's part of our company culture. I mean, they release a new phone every year with all these updates, right? So technology is like this. And generationally, we just look at things and we have high expectations of technology. If you're enrolling in benefits as an employee, you expect it to be online on a digital device. Mm-hmm. So as an employer, people that you're hiring have expectations of what experiences are going to be like. And, you know, I'm an employee of something. My husband has insurance and I expect to be able to do those kinds of things. I think another way it's really slow is an insurance carrier doesn't even have, for the most part, digital ID cards available for the most part. How is this possible? My Costco ID card is on my phone.
Yeah.
How hard is this? I mean, I don't understand that. So in some ways it's super fast and great. It keeps up. And in most ways it's just really slow.
Did you ever have the experience as a broker, like in like completely manual or?
Oh yeah.
Oh, you, okay. Oh. Can you speak a little bit on that?
So I would say in the insurance world, people would look at me as someone who's very green and very new because I didn't get my license until 2009.
Okay.
So do the math. You're young. You can figure that out.
15 years.
Okay. 15 years is how long I've been in the industry. So I came in pre-ACA. And that was passed in 2010, March 23rd, 2012. So, I mean, it's not been very long. And Pre-ACA, we did everything manually. We turned in things via fax or email on renewals. We turned in paper forms, stacks and stacks of papers.
Wow.
One of my first jobs at our agency was taking boxes and boxes and boxes of files. And I was like, can we scan these? Like, what can we do? One of my other first jobs was getting a digital drive external to like house all this information, because that wasn't even available.
That's gotta be so time consuming.
Oh, but it was so worth it.
Oh, yeah?
Right, because I mean, you change offices, you don't have to get a U-Haul to move all the stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, things have just never been digitized.
Yeah.
And so digitizing documents is huge.
Yeah.
Accessible,
What percentage of brokers do you think still do things manually?
70%.
No way. You think it's 70%?
Easily.
Wow.
Especially if they're over 50.
And why do you think they aren't receptive to adopting technology?
Cost,
okay.
Change is hard for a lot of people, right? You know, you like your brand of tennis shoes, you don't want to change, they're comfortable, they fit your feet. Mm-hmm. And I think as a professional, they want to feel like they know what they're doing and how to present something to somebody. And if they have to really learn all of these new tricks, then in my opinion, they feel like they're not presenting like they're very knowledgeable. And so it
makes
them feel like they're kind of starting all over again in their career.
Yeah, makes sense.
Right?
Yeah, I think with that, it's kind of just a little extra step that would be worth it for them to take. But right. That makes sense.
Right.
You want to, you're the expert in your field for so long, and then all of a sudden there's this little thing that you don't know. It makes you seem a little less expert.
And I will say, there's so much value in brokers who've been in the industry decades. Their industry knowledge is phenomenal. Like, you can't find that anywhere else. Mm-hmm. I mean, we need that, right? There's stuff they know that I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
Got to have it.
What is something you learned in your career that you wish you knew sooner?
I don't know everything, and we all like to think we do, especially when we're younger. And I also wish I knew and had the confidence to know, and this is full confession, that you don't have to have a college education to be successful in this career.
Do you have a college education?
I do not. I have a lot of college credits and no degree behind it.
Okay.
And I am very passionate about talking to younger kids, off one, about saying, you know, if you're not still trying to figure out what you're doing, you can have a very good career.
Yeah.
Doing something when you don't necessarily have to have a college degree to do it.
I know so many people who are wildly successful without a college degree.
Yeah.
So from like the client standpoint, what is a problem that you have had with a client that, based off of like maybe a mistake that you made that you like learned from and you're like, okay, I'm never going to make that mistake again. And how did you handle it?
Well, the big mistake would be using the wrong census, because you get the wrong census from them, then they correct it, and you get the rates, and you use those rates to tell the employees during a meeting, these are your rates.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the right one. And then you lose the client.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that has happened to you before?
Thankfully, it wasn't a very large group, but yes.
Yeah.
And you just get back in your car and you're just like, oh my gosh, I just opened this whole enrollment and you're just like, wow, what did I just do? Yeah. And it's just literally a paperwork error.
Yeah. I've heard so many stories like that.
I mean, because we're human.
Yeah.
We just make mistakes. And it was the group had submitted a couple things and change and change and change. And this is how this can be solved. Technology.
Yeah. I was about to say, there you go. There's another benefit of technology.
For sure.
Yeah. So let's talk about Oregon a little bit.
Ooh, fun.
So, as many people know, Oregon does things a little differently in more than one way.
Yes. And they're proud of it.
Oh, 100%.
Very proud of it.
And that is also including, you know, a few policies with benefits. So what are some like specific things that Oregon does that maybe the rest of the country doesn't?
Well, if you find Sasquatch in your backyard, you can add him or her to your policy. I loved your face on that. I just had to say that. No, that's not true.
The fact that I believed you speaks volumes.
We have most believers in our state, but yeah, there's Sasquatch hunts, the whole thing. But yeah, I love that you.
Oh my gosh.
It's such a thing in Oregon.
That is so funny.
We're very quirky there. One of the things that the West Coast has done, I'm not sure so much about the other states in the East Coast, but we do have PLO that just started this year, which is paid leave.
Okay.
And it's mandated. It's short-term disability, and how it's paid depends on your group size. And it's 1% of premium. So for small employers, I'm a small employer under 25. I, as an employer, don't have to pay any percentage of it, but it does come out of everybody's paycheck. So they are on the hook for 100% of the premium themselves. It just comes out by law. If you have a group of over 25, then the employer pays 60% of it and the employee pays 40%.
Okay.
And you get up to 12 weeks of leave. And it can be for family leave, taking a parent to the doctor, a kid to the doctor, your own medical leave, those kinds of things. Bereavement leave, mental health leave. And the days are one day at a time. You can't take it for hours. It has to be a whole day off. And basically notifying your employer the day of, morning of, and 90 days of job security. I mean, as a small employer, I haven't had anybody take it yet, but it can be very difficult.
Is that like yearly you're allowed up to 12 weeks?
Yep.
Really? I'm surprised no one's taken it.
Well, it just started.
Oh, it just started?
Yes.
When did it start?
Just this last year.
Okay.
And I think the fear for everybody is the solvency of it, right? So people have to put money into it and then people draw. So the concern is you get, you know, an influx of people saying, okay, I'm ready to take my leave. And the state says, oh, well, now we're out of money. I'm so sorry. So depending on when you put your request in to have your benefit, then, you know, if your request $999 and they ran out at $900, then you don't get your...
Well, even though you just said that it's paid for out of their paychecks, right?
Yeah, doesn't matter.
That's so interesting. So it might not even be...
Right.
Do you think that they're going to keep that? Or do you think that it might not?
Well, they adjust the rates every year. The state of Washington just had a rate increase. They've had theirs, I think, a year longer than us. California does have something similar, so... Oregon, Washington, and California all try to have similar types of programs because we're all very closely aligned that way.
Yeah.
Especially Oregon and Washington.
Yeah. That is so interesting.
So, and as this happened, our group's over 25. We proactively reached out to every single one of them, especially if they had short-term disability, and talked about what their options would be. The carriers, anyone that had a disability plan, will coordinate the benefits. So whatever the state's PLO plan is would coordinate automatically with their long-term disability, which is great. Okay. And sometimes with a small fee, sometimes not. So anybody that has short-term disability, of course, has dropped it because sometimes those state plans are better. You could keep it if your benefits are better. So it just kind of depends. A group like mine, if I wanted a quote, I couldn't even get a quote because the carriers wouldn't even offer it. So I just have to go with the state plan.
Interesting. And you can just take, like, you can just say it's for mental health purposes.
And you have to get a note from your doctor saying having a bad day. And yeah, I mean, so
wow,
that's a legitimate leave, right?
Wow. That's interesting.
In addition to any PTO that you're offering as a company.
Yeah. I was about to say that's 12 weeks is a long time.
You think?
And
I think the intention is pregnancy.
I was about to say, I was going to ask, how long is like parental leave? Is that included in that or is that a completely different benefit?
They coordinate benefits.
Okay.
So it's not in addition to, it's a coordination of benefits.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
Okay. I was about to say.
Right.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, small employers do worry. I mean, that's a big burden. I mean, we only have five in our companies. So if you've got one person out, that's for an extended period of time.
That's
a burden.
Yeah.
And you can't just all of a sudden hire.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Especially if they're going to come back.
Yeah. And you want them to come back. You care about your people.
Right.
And, you know, mental health is a real thing.
100%.
So if people are really struggling, you absolutely want them to take the time that they need to heal and get better and do what they need to do. Right. So thankfully, it is available. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of time.
I just thought of this, but were you in the Eli Lilly presentation?
I was.
What did you think about that?
Well, a lot of things. I will say I was raised in the pharmaceutical industry by a drug dealer. My father worked for a big drug company and he did pharmaceutical sales.
My dad was a drug dealer.
So, you know, so I was raised in the industry. And so I don't have a negative view of pharmaceutical industries like most of the world today absolutely demonizes them and thinks they're awful. I believe in research and development. It's done so many things to help all of us. And so I think it's wonderful that these drug companies have come up with these great drugs like Eli Lilly to help people that have conditions that they're fighting chronically their whole lives, especially obesity, because it's a chronic condition we have in our country.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful to have that available for people. It's a really big deal. The hard thing is that large employers are the only ones that really have that option to really negotiate that. So I specialize in that small employer space. So what do I do then? I hear all of that and I'm applauding it, you know, in the back of the room, like, yay, thank you for, you know, getting this drug available. So what can I do? Mm-hmm. And really, options for small employers are to, like, add a special, like an HRA that they can do, which is a health reimbursement account.
Yeah,
you know, for fitness or wellness, and say if you choose to take a lifestyle drug, so to speak, like something like this, we have a set amount set aside for you annually of X amount of dollars, $4,000 or $5,000.
Then you can pay like the rest out of pocket.
Yeah,
that's a good option.
Yeah, for sure. You know, whether it's going to be a gym membership or this or yoga classes, or if you choose to do these kinds of things to help you on your journey, because if an employer is passionate about employee health, as they should be, then that's something that they could add.
Is that in Oregon, is that something that you see companies are kind of trying to push, like health related options?
There are a lot of employers that are health focused.
Yeah.
You know, that's just their culture. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did. Yeah. You know, if their broker approached them about it, certainly had the idea to do it.
Is that something that you recommend to your clients?
I certainly will be now that it's available.
Yeah.
In discussions.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, we did have a controversial subject, I will say, in the state of Oregon has been, we've had some issues with abortion access. Mm. And I mean, that's just, no one ever likes to talk about that. And we've had health systems that won't perform them, some that will. And we are just out there in front with every single one of our employers and say, these are your options. Talk to your employees. Mm-hmm. These are how they can access or not access. And the biggest thing I will say about all of it is transparency. Don't place judgment. Everybody's in a different space and just give them information.
Yeah, 100%.
Right.
I think that's a great way to look at it.
Yep.
What is one piece of advice that you would give to a new broker breaking into the industry?
Don't be negative online.
Okay.
It'll stay with you forever.
Like on social media?
I mean, we all have our feelings. I get it. I do all the time. Ask anyone in my household. I have my rants. Thankfully, they are not recorded.
They are in private. No one will ever know.
And I know that the trend now is to be that way. And I get it. Yeah. And sometimes I support the videos, you know, and the movement to express those feelings. But they live forever. And as a hiring person, I do look at those things. Mm-hmm. And they just live forever. And everybody wants to be around really positive people all the time.
And you're speaking to negative in general or negative about?
Like, not negative in general.
Clients and that on that front.
Just really, I would just say nasty, negative, just belittling kinds of things that you just think, would I want my grandma to hear me saying this? Mm-hmm. Kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're all like, oh my gosh, this guy was so rude to me on this date. And da, da. Oh, okay, that's totally great. I mean, I get that, you know, but the other stuff we can kind of probably put aside and just talk to our girlfriends about.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And then to wrap things up, I just wanted to hear a little bit about your experience on the Broker Council so far?
Broker Council is invaluable. And the main reason is because I believe as when you're a broker, when you're an agency owner, interacting with other brokers always helps your business and your career, because 100%. You never know everything. And how they do something may be like, oh my gosh, that's such a great idea. Thank you so much. Because mm-hmm. you just sometimes feel stuck.
Yeah.
And people have great ideas. So if you can ever be in a room of other really smart people and they're willing to collaborate, it's a win-win. So I just think that's great. The other thing I would say is having a partner like Bernie Portal who will listen to you, take feedback, and say, oh, we didn't realize you were having that problem. Oh my gosh, we were not aware. Mm-hmm. Thank you for bringing that. Yes, we're going to put that on the list. That is super helpful. And that's, I mean, really the reason we chose to work with somebody like you guys for this technology is because all of the other big giants out there, just it's off the shelf. Here you go. Have a good time. And just, you know, here's your invoice.
Yeah.
And that's not how we do our business. And so having a partner that does business like us is great. You know, there's a whole team that I can call that helps me. And that's what I need when I'm having trouble doing something with my client. I'm calling you and saying, hey, help me figure this out. Yeah. And so
that's what I need. The personal relationship is so important, especially because as a broker, you have your own personal relationships with your clients. And it's kind of like, well, if they get to call me, who am I going to call?
That's right.
Is it going to be a 1-800 line? Is it going to be a little support ticket that'll take 2 weeks for them to get back to me?
That's right.
So it is nice for you to kind of have the same type of connection that you have with your own clients.
That's right.
Because that's what you deserve, you know?
For sure. So. And I mean, from the time I got into this years ago, 15, I mean, I would say back then I'm selling insurance and now I'm selling solutions.
Yeah.
And it's technology focused solutions for employers. Right. So, yes, part of it is those employee benefits, but it's the technology and all the other solutions around it that employer is looking at to launch. Mm-hmm. Right. It's not just medical. That's how you led 15 years ago.
Yeah.
What's your medical insurance? Oh, let's add some dental. I mean, that's part of the conversation eventually, but it's really the technology and the all-in-one suite of options that you're doing and compliance and everything together.
So many pieces to the puzzle now.
Your most important asset as an employer, the most valuable thing you have are your employees. Mm-hmm. Number one.
Yep.
And if you don't take care of your most important asset, you're going to destroy your business right off the top.
Yeah.
So you got to do it.
Well, thank you so much, Jill.
Thanks for having me.
Talk. I hope you enjoy Nashville the rest of your time.
Wonderful place to be.
But thank you so much for coming on.